How many of you got your Bible this morning? Hold it up. You got the B-I-B-L-E? Hold it up high. Are you ashamed of it? Okay, don't be ashamed of God's Word. Let's all stand and turn to Luke, the Gospel of Luke, which I believe gives the best account of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He was a physician. Luke chapter 2, we'll begin reading to verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. What music today, amen? Wow, the youth, man, y'all get better every time y'all sing that. That's great, and I appreciate Maggie and Ashley. What a beautiful song, and the choir. What a great job. I'm not used to this thing. Y'all bear with me. All right, Luke 2:10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward all men." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. May we not take it lightly. May we always hold your word up high in our hearts and in our lives. And may the word become flesh in us. I pray for your oil of anointing to be upon us today, that we'll not only be hearers of the word, but doers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Christ of Christmas. You say, "Pastor, why are you preaching this?" Because we're leaving Christ out today, big time. More so than ever. And we've forgotten just who is this Christ. In December of 1903, after many attempts, the Wright brothers were successful in finally getting their flying machine off the ground. Thrilled, they telegraphed this message to their sister, Catherine Lean. It said this, We have actually flown 120 feet. We'll be home for Christmas. Catherine hurried to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message. He glanced at it, and here's what he said. He glanced at it and said, "How nice, the boys will be home for Christmas." He totally missed the message a human had flown. Many people today make a similar mistake. They hear the word Christmas, they do not think of Jesus and his miraculous birth. Instead, here's where we are today. We think of family, gatherings, festivals, decorations, and gifts. That's where we are. We've left Christ out of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas is much more than just a babe in Bethlehem. As we'll see today, he is the Christ of glory. The Christmas story is more than just the story of a special birth. And we're going to elaborate on that as we talk about the Christ today. But first of all, let's talk about the cradle. The cradle of Christ. What child is this, as the song says. Now, what kind of child would be announced by an angel? That an angel from heaven would come to announce his birth. The Bible says in verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Well, he's announcing this is the Christ child. What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King. The six-year-old kids in their Sunday school class were reenacting the story of the birth of Jesus. The teacher wanted them to stage it for themselves based on their own made-up script. So it was certainly going to be interesting. Here's what they came up with. They had three Marys, they had two Josephs, six shepherds, and two wise guys. And one boy played the cow. Another boy decided he would be the doctor who would deliver the baby. The teacher consented. So the little doctor went behind the manger, picked up the doll, and carefully wrapped it in a blanket. Then with a big smile on his face, he turned to the Marys and he turned to the Josephs and he said, "Congratulations, it's a God." The little boy had grasped the meaning of Christmas more so than most people. God incarnate. This is God. And that's what the Christmas story is all about. So what child is this? This is the Christ child. So what does Christ mean? So what Christ is this? He says in verse 11, the last part, which is Christ the Lord. Now, many people think that's the last name of Jesus. That's not the last name of Jesus. That's not what he's talking about at all. The Christ is the title of Jesus, not the last name. Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, and this is what Jesus said the church would be built upon. Matthew 16:16. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." To the surprise of so many people, they don't even know what this word Christ is all about. It comes from the Greek word Christos, and it means anointed one or chosen one. This is the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew word Mashiach or Messiah. Jesus is the Lord's human name given to Mary by the angel Gabriel, Luke 1:31. Christ is his title, signifying Jesus was sent from God to be a king and a deliverer. What was such a big deal about this anointed one? Why was the word Messiah such a big word for all the Jews? Because they were looking for a deliverer. They were looking for the anointed one. And they had in their mind the oppression of the Roman government. That's what they felt like they were in bondage. Jesus came to deliver them something from much more than Roman bondage. He came to deliver them from their sin and themselves. And most of all, to save them from the wrath of God. That's why Jesus came. And we miss that message in our celebration. In ancient Israel, when someone was given a position of authority, oil was poured upon their head to signify his being set apart for God's service. Samuel and kings and priests and prophets were anointed in such fashion. Anointing was a symbolic act of indicating this is God's choice. This is God's purpose and God's plan. Although the literal meaning of the anointing refers to the application of oil, it can also refer to one's consecration by God, even if literal oil is not used. So here's the thing. This baby in the cradle, the cradle of Christ, is indeed, he is the anointed one. He is the chosen of God. And of course, you know why, don't you? Because he was without sin. This was the perfect Lamb of God laying in that little manger. And that being true, I want to close this part up of asking another interesting question. Not only what child is this, what Christ is this, but what cloth is this? Many get mixed up about this sign of swaddling clothes in verse 12. "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." I don't believe the sign here is the swaddling clothes. Most babies were wrapped in swaddling clothes. They still are. We swallow the baby, right? I mean, we swaddling clothes, okay? We didn't swallow the baby. But Christ was born, I believe, exactly where he wanted to be born, exactly at the time, in the manger. And this is, and by the way, the announcement came to who? The shepherds. Now, the shepherds was the lowest of the lowest. You couldn't get no lower than a shepherd. You didn't have to be educated to be a shepherd. I mean, you know, just to watch sheep. It didn't take a lot. But why the shepherds? I'll tell you why. Jesus came, unlike most people today, and I think people today are walking in more pride than ever, but Jesus came in humility. He humbled himself and became a baby. That's what God did for you. It ought to say volumes to us. So what's the cloth all about? The swaddle is a bandage. It has come to be a word used to describe the wrapping of a newborn baby in pieces of cloth, depending on the income or financial state of a newborn parent. These wrappings of the infant to protect and to keep the limbs of the child straight was done until the child reached the age of one. That was the purpose of the wrapping. The sign was that the babe would be lying in a feeding trough where animals would eat. And it's interesting that here he was born in a manger where there were animals, and the Bible pictures Jesus as the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. So that's the next thing I want to go to real quickly. Not only the cradle of Christ, but the cross of Christ. And without the cross, there's no purpose of the manger. Do you know that? I mean, if you leave this out, then you've missed the real meaning of Christmas. The cross of Christ. Number one, it's God's gift. I said it's God's gift. Amen. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, what? A Savior. A Savior for what? Not just for our sin, but to keep us from the wrath of God. For God's judgment was upon man. There was enmity, the Bible says, between God and man. And Jesus came to reconcile us. Here he is on the cross. With one hand, he has his holy, righteous God, his Father. On the other hand, he has you. And he brings the two together at the cross. And that's why Jesus was born. He was born to die. Now, it's interesting how God looks at his gift. Now, we put all our gifts under the tree. God put his gift on the tree. Amen. That's what Christmas is all about, y'all. Amen. We will spend thousands and thousands, especially on Black Friday, we'll spend millions to put our gifts under the tree. God put his gift on the tree because he shed his blood, which you cannot put a price on. No money can buy what Jesus did for you on that tree. That's God's gift. Can we look at this next slide and say it together? Everybody knows it. Let's say it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's why I lit the candle today, life. I thought to myself, boy, Jesus came, his purpose, he came that you and I might have life, that we might have it for how long? Everlasting. Let's talk about that for a moment. God's glory. Not only God's gift, but God's glory. It says in verse 9, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, talking about the shepherds. And then verse 14, we read, glory to God in the highest. The glory of the cross is in the Christ. Had it not been for the virgin birth of Christ in that manger, had Mary not been a virgin, Jesus could not have gone to that cross. He would have been born into sin, but Jesus was born separate from sin because his birth was the very Son of God. He is the very Son of God. He is the Christ child. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one. And that's why he could go to that cross and pay our sin debt. All I got to say is glory be to God. And folks, whenever you and I think it's ever about us, then we've missed the Christ of Christmas. We've missed it. Church, it's all about what Jesus did for us. Peter got it right when Peter said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He got it right. How about you? Are you getting it right? What is your focus this Christmas? Oh, we've taken Christ out of Christmas in America. Oh, big time. Bigger than you think. If Christ was in Christmas, there wouldn't be an empty seat in this house this morning. But Christ is not in Christmas. What's so sad, even those of us who name his name have taken Christ out of Christmas. We've missed it. We've missed it. Church, look up here. I think it's easy to miss God. He came into his own, and his own received him not. Here was the glory of God laying in a manger. Even at the cross, they missed him. They missed him. And even today, people miss him. I mean, he's right there in front of us. He didn't come the way we expected. He wrapped himself in a package that we didn't expect. The Jews thought, well, he's the Messiah. The Messiah's coming. He's our great deliverer. He's going to deliver us from Roman oppression. But he was born to die. That's the message of Christmas. And then, of course, I got to talk about this, God's grace. It says in verse 8, and there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The first announcement of the Christ Messiah's birth was given by an angel to some anonymous shepherds. And why shepherds? As I said a while ago, because God was showing his grace to man. Grace that is for everybody. I mean, the lowly of the lowest. Why was he born in a manger? Why was he there so everybody could get to him? The shepherds, the wise men, the boys, the girls, the adults, anybody can come to Jesus. Do you believe that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever. You ask the question, why did the announcement not come to the priests? They were the religious people, or the scribes. By visiting shepherds, the angel revealed the grace of God toward all mankind. He was saying that Christmas, the true meaning, cannot be separated from the cross. That's what he was saying. The angel said at the birth of Jesus, he will save his people from their sin. You can't separate it. If you separate, if this is all you've got, then all you got is a little baby born. But this baby was born with a purpose in mind, to die. And that's the grace of God. What is grace? God's love and favor. That's God's grace. Grace is God's love and favor towards you, in that while ye were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Last thing, and I got to give you this, because this is what this Christmas is all about. It's not only the cradle of the cross and the cradle. It's not only about the cradle of the Christ or the cross of the Christ, but it's the coming of the Christ. You see, this is what this is all about. Are y'all listening? Say amen. Amen. He came the first time. He will come again. Amen. And I believe that you and I are closer than ever before. I really believe this. I tell you, I find the older I get, the more I recognize this. God has a plan. So let me talk about it in closing. The sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of this Christ. I wanted to put the Christ. But did you know the Bible says before his coming that there will be many to say, I am the Christ? You read your Bibles? What did Jesus say? Don't believe them. Don't believe them. In the last days, there will be many false prophets. There will be those who, and I believe the churches are full of them. Oh, just feel real good about your sin. It's going to be all right. I think the most sickening thing up to this point in my life, I've just discovered. I mean, I thought I've seen it all. And I've been through a lot in life. You'd be shocked some things that I have seen. But the most sickening thing I've ever seen in my life is what's available right now at Walmart and all your card stores. You can get a card for your mistress that says this, I will be with my wife and my family this Christmas, but I'll be thinking about you. Yes, you can get a card like that now. You know what that is? That's a slap in the face of God. It's saying, you know, in other words, the card is saying, don't feel bad about your sin. You're all right. You spend Christmas with your wife and your children. But Miss Mistress, I'll be back over with you soon. The judgment of God is coming, folks. And God's going to judge all this stuff that we're condoning today. And we're condoning a lot. We really are. I mean, I grew up old-fashioned. You can call me old fogey. But you know what? God hadn't changed. Amen. He never will. We can sort of sugarcoat it. We can say sin is not as bad as the preacher says it is. It may not be as bad as the preacher says it is, but it's worse than what... I'll tell you, it's just as bad as God says it is. I mean, I'm going to tell you what God says is the authority. I want to talk about the sovereignty of this Christ. The Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega. In other words, he is the beginning and the end. Are you listening? He had the first word, and he'll have the last word. Amen. And all the words in between don't matter. It don't matter. Because what God says, that's it. You want to know the definition of truth? God. He defines what truth is. Can you and I lie? Sure, anybody in here can lie. Every one of us have lied. We've all sinned. All of us have fallen. But he's never lied. Talk about the sovereignty of God. He's the beginning, the end. He came the first time with a star in the east. He's coming the second time, the Bible says, as the bright and morning star. He came the first time as a helpless babe. He comes the second time as a conquering king. He came the first time riding on a donkey. He will come the second time riding on a white horse. The first time Jesus came unnoticed into the world, he came to his own received him not. The second time, the Bible says, every eye eye shall see him. In his first coming, Jesus humbled himself, being born in a stable of Bethlehem. When he returns, he will come back, the Bible says, as the King of kings and Lord of lords. In his first coming, he endured the mockery of men who made jokes and mocked him and despised him for his very goodness. And although he was and is the Son of God, he allowed them to put him to death that he might thereby provide salvation for the world. When he comes again, all mockery will cease, and he will rule the nations, the Bible says, with a rod of iron. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. He comes the second time as the Lion and the Tribe of Judah. 2,000 years ago, the religious leaders shouted in scorn, he saved others, he can't even save himself. The Bible says the day is coming when the whole world will see Jesus as he really is. This Christ that I'm presenting to you, yes, he is the Messiah. He's the anointed one. He is the Christ of the cross. He's the one who died on that cross. The cross of Christ is where Jesus paid the price for us. But this same Christ who is sovereign, who rules and reigns, who has all authority over all kings and all lords, I'll tell you, the Bible says every knee, it don't matter what you believe, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And I'll tell you, it's much better that you do it now than later. You know the best thing that can happen here today in this church is for revival to break out. Amen. Best thing that can happen here today is every knee bow. Amen? Amen. You think about when they came to see this baby, you know what the shepherds did? They bowed. You know what the wise men did? They bowed. They recognized this is authority here. He's sovereign God. Who is in control? Our God is. He rules and reigns. He knows what he's doing. The Bible says in Isaiah 9, did I tell you the Bible says? Did I say that? Yeah. All right, I just want to make sure. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the prophet said it best, Isaiah, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Folks, this Christ that is coming, he is our only hope. He is our only hope. If this life is all that there is, there's not much hope, is it? But there's a better life. You can believe that and receive it and rejoice. Or you can doubt it and you can do without it. It's your choice, right? God's given us a free will. I want to talk in closing, not only about the sovereignty of our God. And by the way, I got to give you this verse, one more verse before I leave it, on the sovereignty of God. God said, prepare to meet your God. Amos 4:12. The Bible says, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall be with the Lord. Folks, let me tell you, look up here. Whether you believe it or not, you will bow before a holy God one day. And you know, we Christians, sometimes we think, well, hey, my judgment was on the cross. No. Yeah, he took care of the sin problem there, but we will give him account for everything we've ever done. Every one of us. Are y'all listening today? Amen. I see folks fibbling around, playing with stuff, thinking about other stuff. But I'm going to tell you, one day you will be giving your divine attention to God. You will be bowing before him. You say, preacher, don't you tell me what I'll be doing. Well, I'm not telling you, but the sovereign God of the universe will. You're going to wish one day that you had received him as your Savior. Because I'm going to tell you, the bottom line is he is in control. I know this world's spinning out of control. I know we're living in crazy times. But God is still on his throne. Last thing is the supremacy of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, Apostle Paul, you talking about the Christ child and who he is. He made it very clear. The Christ of Christmas is the great prophet. He is the great priest. And he is the king. And as such, he is God's supreme revelation. This is what you see at Christmas, God's supreme revelation. This Christmas season, we need to be reminded that God entered our box. He entered a feeding box, a feeding trough. Think about that. The supernatural took upon himself human flesh and entered the natural world. While all of man's religions reflect his attempts to make his way out of the box, the message of Christianity and Christmas is that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. God spoke, and his supreme revelation is found in the Christ of Christmas. For in Christ, God burst into our world and showed us what God is like. God invaded our world to show us Himself. Someone has said that Jesus Christ came from the bosom of the Father to the bosom of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became the Son of Man that we might become the sons of God. He was born contrary to the laws of nature, lived in poverty, was reared in obscurity, and only once crossed the boundaries of the land in which He was born, and that was in His childhood. He had no wealth or influence. He had neither training nor education in the world's schools. His relatives were inconspicuous and insignificant. In infancy, he startled a king. In boyhood, he puzzled the learned scholars. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature. He walked upon the hushed the sea to sleep. He healed the multitudes and without medicine, and He made no charge for His services. He never wrote a book, and yet all the libraries of the world could not hold the books about Him. He never wrote a song, yet He has furnished the themes for more songs than all the songwriters together. He never founded a college, yet all the schools together cannot boast of as many students as He has. He never practiced medicine, yet He has healed more broken hearts than all the doctors have healed broken bodies. This Jesus Christ is the star of astronomy. He is the rock of geology. He's the lion and the lamb of zoology. He's the harmonizer of all discord. He's the healer of all diseases. Throughout history, great men have come and gone, yet He lives on. Herod could not kill Him. Satan could not seduce Him. Death could not destroy Him, and the grave could not hold Him. But He stands forth upon the highest pinnacles of heavenly glory, proclaimed of God, acknowledged by angels, adored by saints, and feared by devils as the living personal Christ. This is the Christ of Christmas. Don't leave Him out this Christmas. Let's all bow our head. Every head bowed, every eyes closed. When the question is brought up as to who Jesus Christ really is, some people will say He was just a good teacher. Some would say He's a religious fanatic. Some would say He's just a fake. Some would claim He was a criminal or a political revolutionary person. Indeed, there are countless human explanations as to who Jesus Christ was. God tells us who Christ is. He is God's supreme revelation of Himself. That's the Christ of Christmas. The Christ of Christmas is the one who came the first time. He is the Christ who's coming again, and He's going to come to rule as sovereign King, as supreme. Here's my counsel to you today. We need to bow down. I said we need to bow down. I'd rather see you come today and take a knee and bow down to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, then to stand before God one day, and then when you have to bow down, because the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord, and then hear Him say, "Depart, I never knew you, because you left me out of your life." That's why Christ is being left out of Christmas, because people have left Christ out of their life. I'm going to ask you today to come and bow down. What a night that was when they all bowed down. I believe even Mary bowed down. I believe Joseph bowed down. The shepherds bowed down. The wise men bowed down. All the angels, they were bowing down. They were worshiping. They were giving God glory. I wonder today what would happen at Gourd Springs Baptist Church if we all bowed down. Oh God, You were willing to become one of us, born in a manger so anyone could come to You. You said, "Whosoever will may come." You didn't leave anybody out. You made a way in a manger so there would be a way for us at the cross. And Jesus, You are the way. You're the truth and the life. You are the Christ of Christmas. You are the Messiah, the anointed, the chosen. God, You couldn't have given us a greater gift than Your Son, Jesus. Thank You. We praise You along with the angel choir. We give You the glory and honor. May we worship You now at this invitation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.